All right, so here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. If people are joining in already on BBS, thank you so much. We welcome you to this conference call. We continue calling it a conference call. We have people gathering together over here on the phone line. And we will continue to greet people. And we had somebody else just joined in. I heard a ding. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
Hey, Dharmananda. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, this is Zoe Reynolds from Cherry Hill.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Zoe Reynolds from Cherry Hill.
Oh, hello, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I don't recognize your name. Have you been with us before, Zoe?
Yes, I have.
All right, welcome back.
Yeah, but I haven't been in the pre-con.
Okay.
You know.
So all right.
In fact, I'm usually late tuning in.
All right.
Or I'm on the website on the intelligentinfinity.com.
Okay, on the replay. Great. Hey, thank you for being here. A warm welcome to you, Zoe.
Yeah, thank you.
And now are you in California?
No, I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. All right.
New Jersey.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Teresa in Indiana.
Good evening, Teresa. A warm welcome to you.
Hi, thanks. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Lisa.
Michael in Camino, California.
I hear Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
Oh, that's a
all right. And I hear at the same time also Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for being here. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right.
Dwayne, are you there?
Of course.
Town one.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
I'm Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Heiss. Are you familiar with the term dirty electricity?
Yes.
Is that like imperfect waves that produces a harmful EMF, something like that?
Usually you're talking about, yes, that you lots of times you have power fluctuations,
uh-huh.
You know, that it's not stable. That is usually what you're talking about. And then also if it's more about when you're more talking about for music installations, sensitive equipment, then you're talking about more like the fluctuations in the frequencies and things like that.
Okay, thanks.
All right. We had somebody else joined in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
No.
Hello, Terry. Can't hear you. Better know you're here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Matt, Anaheim, California.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. How is everybody?
I don't know about everybody, but I'm doing great.
All right.
Was that in Anaheim?
Correct.
I'm in San Clemente. Hello.
Pleasure.
Yes. And then welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Nice to have somebody from the beach over here.
Jealous.
Thank you. Me too. Puts a smile on my face just thinking about it, though.
Yes, yes. All right. And so we probably have more people. I cannot hear those come in, of course, but there will be people who join in right now on BBS Radio. Thank you so much to all of you guys. And thank you for being here. It's great to have, be with a big group. We are energetic. So, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Adam from Tennessee.
Hello, Adam. Good evening to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Marilyn, welcome to the call.
Thank you, host.
All right. And more people join in?
Marilyn.
Please say your name. Several people join in. I welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location. But only if you want to.
Greetings, Hutch.
Good evening, Joel.
No.
Good evening, Rocco. Say your name and location.
I'm Morgan in California.
I hear Morgan. Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Jones. How are you?
Good. And more people, if you want to, you have a chance, please say your name and location.
I don't know if Wynn is on yet, but when he is, please tell him I am now getting his emails. Thank you again.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that.
Me too.
All
I'm glad to be able to say it.
All right. Welcome back. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Boom, boom, boom.
Only if you want to.
That's right. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you. I keep losing Santa.
All right. The palm tree in the way for this.
Yeah.
It's those balmy breezes.
Good evening. You're here.
I'm here.
I know. All right. Evening, Wynn.
Were you sweating it? Is Terry here?
He is here, but I haven't heard her. So Terry, if you're here, speak up.
She's probably looking for her headset. Right?
Her line is open, but I cannot hear her.
Okay.
By the way, her headset sounds great. Yesterday, the white one.
The white one?
The white one. She was using yesterday, right?
Are you becoming an expert on all our headsets?
Pick up something good. That stays in my mind.
Well, let me see. We have a headset graveyard here.
I know.
We haven't thrown them away. Always thinking. There's got to be a one time when I pick up one headset after another and they won't work, and I'm finally going to be grasping for the last headset. Right? So, Terry, are you there yet? I see you. I see you're not talking. Hello, Terry. Hello, everybody out there on the internet.
Maybe she doesn't know how to unmute.
This is another Monday in the life of Ozzy and Harry. I mean, Terry and Wynn.
She's practicing her telepathy. Are you picking it up?
She's saying, I hope we're going to make fun of her.
All right.
You know, it's very interesting because when you get to know people that do this crazy stuff, they really are weird, including me. Okay. Jim, are you on the line?
Who are you asking for?
Jim Lee.
Yes, he was here, yes. I hear
Hi,
Terry.
Jim.
Terry?
Yeah.
Hello,
I know, I
Terry.
I what was wrong. When you said white headset, I figured that it's gone to the Bluetooth in my white headset, and I had a different headset on that wasn't paired.
Okay. But you sound loud now, so keep it as is.
Okay.
All right. So let's get started, okay?
And yep, 6:05. No. Okay, great.
All right, so I'll start this.
This conference is being recorded.
You know, we just started our recording, and this is 11, November 25th, 2013, and 7:05 p.m. And, you know, some people say, when start at 7, and maybe one day we will. But one of the weird things I have learned is that, you know, this is not an ordinary conference call. This is not an ordinary internet broadcast. We don't have guests. Have you ever known, except occasionally, we have Carla Rucker, we've had Terry Friedman, and because there's a really good case, he was Matthew, disciple of Jesus, and it fits into our work, and we are a group energy on these calls. We are a group energy. We are a moving freight train, and it's not about entertaining you. It's about being with you, and you being with us, and creating a group dynamic that becomes a family, really does, becomes a family in many ways. Now, it doesn't become a family in the sense that you come home for dinner and, hi, honey, because it would be nice to do that, actually, but it's unfortunately not practical. But we have learned something here. We have learned how to create a family, a fellowship, camaraderie, vibratorily. And if you're new to the call, you just have to keep showing up. And we can't, hang on just one moment. I'm just charging my headset to make sure it doesn't go off. There we go. You'll find if you attend these calls a certain amount of times, you'll feel, I won't say this for sure, not everyone does it, but many people start to feel an energy, a flow, a togetherness, a being part of something. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to recognize anything. I mean, we do say there's things happening around us that are weird by normal standards. They really are happening. And anyone who pays attention long enough starts to see them happening and believes that we're real or we're really telling the truth about it. And oftentimes, many times, it transfers to you. You start having weird, I say weird. They're weird by normal laws of this reality. But normal laws of this reality are lesser than. They're not truth. They're just the laws of this reality. And we have every one of us been trapped by the laws of this reality, including me, especially me. And some of you are feeling trapped now by the laws of this reality. And it's not easy to get out of it. And I was saying something to Terry about something that I observed. And, you know, I have been working on myself for a long time. And one of the ways that I work on myself is experimentation. I pay close attention to things that happen, things that I do, things that I say, people that I involve myself with, and how it affects me, energetically. Now, we are all being totally impacted by everything around us and affecting us. And we don't normally know what causes what. It's not easy to identify. In other words, you could do something or talk to someone and very shortly thereafter have a headache. And you don't realize the headache was caused by that conversation. And maybe you don't talk to them for 2 months, and then you talk to them again and you have another headache. And it's so far removed that you still don't make the connection. But one thing I know is true is that we all mirror each other. We're all bouncing back and forth. And this is what I started talking to Terry about today, that this world is a wall of mirrors, and that truth, how do you find truth in this wall of mirrors? But you know what? I'm going to play a song now. It's a perfect song for this topic, which is why I was 2 minutes late, because I was uploading the song. And, Hayes, what song am I going to play?
AC/DC.
Huh?
AC/DC, Let There Be Rock.
No. Terry, what song am I going to play?
Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror.
That's right. Here we go. She's being psychic again.
Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collar board, my favorite winter coat, the wind is blowing my mind. I see the hills and the street, but not enough to read. When I to be blind, pretending not to see the end.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough of Man in the Mirror. Okay, too distorted. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's look at the lyrics. Man in the Mirror. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to get it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite West Coast, my collar? I don't know what that means. This wind
his
is blowing.
On his coat. His collar,
oh, yeah,
on,
collar
his
on his coat.
On
my favorite wind. Oh,
he puts his collar
yeah.
up.
He says, my favorite winter coat. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a man and one man's soul, they follow each other on the wind, you know, because they got somewhere to go. That's why I want you to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. Take a look at yourself and then make a change. And, of course, we have, no, 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 no. I've been a victim of a selfish kind of love. It's time that I realize there are some with no home, not a nickel to loan. Could it be really me pretending that they're not alone? A widow deeply scarred, somebody's broken heart, and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind, you see, because they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me, starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. If you want to make the world a better place, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make a change. And I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. And it just keeps repeating the chorus. With that man in the mirror, man in the mirror, the man in the man, I'm asking him to change his ways. The man in the mirror, no message could have been clearer. You'll see, there's nothing, I guess there's nothing, nothing new, except you know it, you know it, you know it. You know that, know it. Make that change. Well, that's what we're talking about, except, you know, the man in the mirror. You and I are the men in the mirror and the women in the mirror. And what did I say today, Terry, that provoked you, that said I should do a talk about this tonight?
You told me that not only me, but a lot of other people, like the majority of people, they were sitting in the reflection of their friends and society and people they know, rather than to just go out and be themselves. They were imaging themselves or seeing themselves as how other people saw them, rather than...
You know, it's kind of like a wall of crazy mirrors in a funhouse. Did you ever do that? Did you ever look at those mirrors, Terry? Anybody?
I did.
Sure you have.
I did, yeah. I did.
You know, every mirror you look at, you look different. And you're fat, you're wriggly, your neck is long. You know, you walk through. And do you know that that happens with every person you're with? Every person you're with them and you're engaging with them? And they are a mirror, and they're reflecting back to you, and you suddenly see yourself. It's psychic. It's so fast, it's not conscious. You're suddenly seeing yourself in their view of you. And then you get to the next person, and you're seeing yourself in their view of you. And so here we are trying to find God, finding truth, finding love, finding, you know, making ourselves more enlightened, more centered, and we walk around, and everything is a mirror, but it's a distorted mirror. It's not a mirror of your soul. It's distorted, and you're trying to find yourself in all these mirrors that are reflecting back to you. It's like there was that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And you know, what happens is people get engaged with each other. I don't mean engaged like getting married, but engaged, being interested in each other, having things to talk about when they have similar reflections. In other words, another way of looking at it, and the mirror analogy, it's the same thing, just a different way of saying it, is that each person is radiating their piece of the universe. and they're radiating it from all their experience. And it's radiating towards your piece of the universe. And you're radiating your piece of the universe. And if you have pieces of the universe that conjoin, that are similar, then you'll probably find a reason to engage with that person. And it's still not necessarily a spiritual connection. In a sense, all connections are spiritual. Language is so hard because we make a hierarchy, and I don't mean to do that. It's not a reflection of your deepest self, but it's still a valid reflection, and there is energy in it, and it's engaging. It's engaging for as long as it's engaging, and then you might grow and go way above that, and that reflection is no longer engaging anymore. And this is the difficulty in this realm, because everybody's looking for something, and they're looking for the right reflection, and they end up, if they're lucky, they get caught in a reflection that has some energy in it, and they could get caught up in a reflection that has a lot of pain in it, and they don't know it until they get to the end of that particular episode where the pain is, okay? And of course, romantic relationships are the best and the worst, because in a romantic relationship, you get a reflection back. In the beginning of a romantic relationship, in the beginning, this is my take, in the beginning, no one knows what's happening. It's like a mystery. It's like it's intriguing. And usually, often, there is this great exchange of energy that takes place because there's no mirroring at a lower level. You see, as soon as you're mirroring, it locks it in. When no one knows what's going on, it brings up, how would I say it? When no one knows what's going on, like you don't know what's going on with them and they don't know what's going on with you, it brings up a great, huge, creative energy, which is that surge of romantic love that you feel and that makes you want that person. And then what do? You want them and you think they're the key to the energy. You think that they're supplying you that wonderful energy, and maybe they're feeling the same thing. So what do? Then you say, hey, man, I like this energy. I want to control it so I can have it whenever I want it. I want it to be a spigot or a battery. Let me turn it on. Let me turn the light on. And so it goes downhill from there. And then the energy goes out of it. This is not always the way it happens, but this is like one pretty common way that romance works. The energy goes out of it, and oftentimes the person will feel that the other person is denying them love. And then a guy gets crazy, he gets angry, he feels denied. And he starts blaming his wife or his girlfriend. And he's angry. And, of course, what's he trying to tell her? Come on, I need love. I mean, I need sex. And so she then is supposed to say, yes, honey. But how can she give love? How can she be receiving of the person when it's on that level. Because in a real, really good intimate exchange, there's real energy passing. And one person is receptive and receiving, and the other person is letting go. And then there's like a rejuvenated feeling. It's like cleaning all your insides. And that's a pure connection. It's like the energy of all, you can work out a lot of dark energy that way. And in fact, you know, the Indians have a science of it called tantric yoga. But you know what? It's certainly easier said than done. But if you can understand the cycles go where it starts out romantic, and then there's control mechanisms, and then the energy is dead. And, you know, there was a famous English poet that very much influenced me. His name was William Blake, and he was a painter. In fact, I've used his paintings. If you looked at the Creator God book, that picture of a hand reaching down from the heavens and a hand reaching up from earth, touching each other, it's a William Blake painting. And he's awesome. I think he was in the 1800s, I think, in England. And I read some of his stuff when I was younger, and I said, this guy, I was still learning stuff, and I said, this guy knows something, because I recognized the truth, the deep, deep, deep truths in what he was saying. So he said, he who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. And he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy. That's exactly what I just said. In that romantic phase, people are catching the joy as it flies, and then they try to possess it because they think if they can possess that other person, they will possess the joy, and it never works, ever. It can't work. You can't possess another person. That doesn't mean you can't have a committed relationship. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, live together the rest of your life. But you're borrowing them. They're borrowing you. And you have to learn how to keep each other's energies up within that relationship. How to move in and out of the romance. And because you can't stay in that swooning romantic phase all day, but you can move into it, you can move after it, you can move into it, and it builds an energy. And it builds a reference, if you do it right, it builds a reference for an anchor to the higher dimensions where you can get the reflection of your own soul back to you. And that is invaluable if you can create it, if you can transmute your present relationship. Now, how do you transmute your relationship? How do you do that? Well, in some cases, get them to come into our phone calls, and that'll lift an energy which will create something new. But oftentimes, that's not possible. Or the person, you know, it sounds like too weird for the other person. And so the way you do it, and this is not just with romantic relationships, this is with all relationships. All relationships that are stuck in the mirror, that are stuck in a reflective phase, that are stuck in a habitual way of interfacing with each other, you look for opportunities outside and above the mirror. And you do something unexpected. And out of what would normally be expected, and it creates beginnings of a shift in the energy. And you'll know you did the right thing because there's gratitude. Do you know what gratitude is? You know the vocabulary of it. But gratitude is an energy. It's an energy that when somebody extends you gratitude, something inside you moves and you feel an energy in you when there's genuine gratitude. And that's the beginning of a soulful connection with another person, the sharing of gratitude. So how do you get gratitude going? Well, all guys know how to do this. We're talking about relationships. You just get her flowers. For some reason, there's something about flowers that women love, and there's gratitude, okay? On your job, find something to give to other people on your job. But it's got to be genuine. You can't be manipulative. You can't do it to get gratitude. You have to do it out of your heart. Like some people who work in an office, they take a bunch of cookies and they bring it to share with everyone, okay? And that creates gratitude. But if it's manipulative, it won't. People will mistrust it. Your intent has to be really pure, or else people say, well, what is she going to expect of us? When is she going to ask us a favor? You see, doing things for other people at a lower level can be part of the mirror because people do favors to create obligation so they can ask for something later. And that is not what we're referring to. It has to be spontaneous. It doesn't have to be spontaneous, but it has to be a clear action on your part. Like there's a neighbor across the street, and I'm going to do this. I keep thinking I have to do this. You know, a few weeks ago, we saw ambulances at our house. And apparently, she was going to the hospital. And I said to myself, I got a knock on... Now, we don't know our neighbors. Well, you know, maybe one neighbor. But... I think people think we're weird. So I say to myself, people do think if I can meet someone on regular terms, like I'm a businessman or I'm doing this, then they can learn about this other stuff and take it or leave it. But you know, for a long period of time, I just talked about it to everyone. Because I said, I got to get this out. And they said, you got to talk to one person at a time for it to happen. And so that's what I did. I talked to one person at a time. And that's probably why we're here now. But, you know, sometimes I talked to 9 people and one person would be interested. And I had to learn how to talk about it. I mean, when I was in the middle of my experience and talking to, you know, these sources through Daphne and Terry, it's like I didn't have a clue. I mean, I didn't know where to begin. Where do I start? And I said, okay, obviously this experience is historically connected with what would cause religion to start, okay? Although this is far more broadband than religions, and there is no organization to control everything, and there's no rituals other than calling in the light. But on the other hand, we're communicating with sources that have demonstrated to many of us that they can send energy into this realm, and we can feel it. And when they send energy into this realm, there is the potential for little miracles or big miracles or synchronicities. And so many of you have emailed me, and you can't all be delusional. Terry can't be Terry could be delusional, but she's not. And I'm pretty level-headed about all of this. And we're in the middle of it. And when people feel energy in their space, when they feel things shift because of that energy for themselves, they don't have to believe something. It's not based on believing something. And suddenly patterns go away that they have been stuck with for all their life. The patterns lift. It's like, it's pretty dramatic. It creates a lot of dedication, or certainly paying attention, or passion for whatever's doing that. And I'm not doing it. I'm showing up. I am doing something. You know, it just so happens that I happen to be an old soul. And what does that mean? It means I made most of the mistakes that everyone else has made. And I made a lot of them this life as well. So I have the memory of this lifetime, all the things I've gone through to try to lift above my mistakes. So when I'm talking to people, there's not much that they can present to me that I haven't gone through and worked through this lifetime in particular, and many other lifetimes. And I observe the whole thing carefully. And that's the reason I can sit and talk like this. And if you know, truthfully, our relationship is a little bit like a romance. It's not, you know, it's like a romance because every time we talk, it's like the first time we're talking. I don't carry any expectation of recognition, any expectation of acknowledgement, any kind of ego for the awesome grief healing we did yesterday. It was awesome. I can sit there, you know, I start out, I'm just like everyone else, and somewhere an hour into it, there's this energy, and whoa, it's just taken off. So I can acknowledge myself for showing up and learning how to let go, and having the trust and the faith that if I let go, the energy will always flow, always. And that doesn't only work for me, it works for you. But you have to figure out how and where you're going to let go. And you have to start paying close attention to the cracks, to the opportunities that present yourself. Every day is a creation. Every day is a painting. And what did you do today as part of your creation? You have to create it. You can be passive. You can listen to me. You can listen to our calls. You can listen to Wayne Dyer. But what good is it if you don't create your day? And you are a creator. You are a part of all that is. You can create at a high level. And maybe you have to start small. Maybe you just have, maybe it's baking cookies. Or maybe it's knocking on the door of a neighbor that you're concerned about. Or maybe it's giving your wife flowers. And she thinks, what'd you do that for? Hey, you know, what do you expect of me? Does that mean we have to have sex tonight? You tell her, it's up to you, honey. I'm trying to inspire you, but it's that's something that's got a free will gesture from you, you know? So, Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Do you have any comments on all this?
Yeah, I thought it was... I thought it was really, really interesting one time when I was talking with a friend of mine named Ken Ludden, who used to work with Margot Fonteyn, and he made the comment that Margot had said to him one time, "Did you ever notice when you meet somebody, you get a certain impression of them? Maybe it's this or it's that, but you get this impression." And that the people that are giving this impression are working really hard in their life to give that impression. They're spending a lot of time on it. And I thought that that was very interesting information.
You know, I would say, from my experience, when you meet somebody, that very instant that you meet them, before you actually have a conversation, they're just there. You get a psychic totality. If you're sensitive, you feel who they are immediately, and it's more accurate than anything you exchange after that. It's because there's not a big mirroring effect at that point. It's just like flash. They project into you. You project into them, but you can kind of read them. You could almost do a reading for a person in that moment if that was how the setup was. So once they start talking, they're trying to usually make you like them or make you be impressed by them or saying things that will kind of make you give up your power sometimes. I mean, there's all kinds of variations, and sometimes somebody just genuinely wants to meet you and they're very loving, and, you know, usually if you're not used to that, it'll freak you out because you suddenly have to become real. And have you learned how to be real with another person? You know, sometimes being real means upsetting someone. It means saying something that's true in the moment, and they may not want to hear that. Now, you know, you can't take people's inventory. But you can talk about your own experience. This is a very important principle. If you're trying to communicate with somebody that's irritating you or that's pushing your buttons, you know, oftentimes you don't know if it's them and they don't know if it's you. And you can argue all day about who's doing what. But one of the things you can always do and kind of have a little bit of immunity from going downhill is you can share your own experience and allow the other person to make an adjustment, you know? And if they do, your relationship is going uphill. For example, let's suppose somebody leaves their dishes in the sink all the time, and it's a shared household, and you have to go in, and you get annoyed, you clean the dishes, and you're building up all this resentment, okay? Well, if you communicate your resentment to them, if you say, "Why aren't you doing your share? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? You know, this is a shared household. You're inconsiderate leaving the dishes in the sink." If you do that, you might get them to cooperate, and they might bite their tongue, but the better way to do it, in my opinion, is to say, "You know, Gary, when I come in," — Gary doesn't leave dishes in the sink too much. That's because she doesn't eat.
Because Jim does the dishes.
Somebody else does the dishes. But I'm giving you an example. You report your experience to the person in a very honest way. You say, "You know what? I really get upset when I see those dishes in the sink. I know I wash them, but part of me thinks that it's should be your responsibility on that. Or maybe you say somebody says something that really hurts you, and maybe they didn't really mean to hurt you. Maybe they accidentally crossed your mirror, and there was something that you had a memory about that was a track record of something that hurt you, and they said something that brought that up. And you could say then, you know, when you said that, I really got hurt. It doesn't matter. I don't think you meant to hurt me, but I felt hurt. If you could remember in the future, if you don't mind me reminding you, so in the future, don't say that. So I don't have to feel hurt all the time. This gives people an opportunity to sandpaper each other and get more refined and have better energetic flow and experience more gratitude and get stronger in their connection. And these are ways to deal with this mirroring effect. Now, you know, this idea of a mirror, you know, I've understood this for a long time. And for some reason, I said it to Terry, and she suddenly said, you know what, I get it. I know what you mean. I understand it. And it was something that was really hard to get through to her. It's really simple. But it's simplest things are sometimes the hardest to communicate and get across. And hang on a second. It is 7:47. We have about 10 minutes, Terry. Should we bring them in and get their comments on what we're talking about? Or maybe they have some helpful things to add? No, you don't want to.
I'm not right now.
You're not in the zone. All right. You've heard about getting women in the mood. So I have to get Terry in the zone. Okay. You know, one thing I wanted to share a little bit, I could share, and let me see if I have these uploaded. Something we've never done in our life. Some of you might have noticed that we never run out of stuff to talk about. And I can't even believe that myself. So as long as we've been doing these calls, how much it is to draw on. And it never ends. At least it hasn't yet. And one thing that happened, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, which I think I'm going to talk about next week, but I'll give you a little preview of it. And I'm bringing it up because we played Michael Jackson. And most of you don't know this, but when Michael Jackson died, he ended up in the morgue in downtown Los Angeles. And Terry and I were busy doing sessions in this little room near downtown, a few blocks from downtown. It's kind of in the barrio. It was the former Catholic nunnery that Terry lived in. And we were doing sessions a few times a week about all kinds of stuff. And one evening, Terry said, I can't get through. There's all this anger on the line. And then she said, oh my God, it's Michael Jackson. And of course, I'm saying, oh no, what next? Every time something like that happens, I go through in my mind, how do I know this is positive? How do I know I can trust this? Is it really Michael Jackson? Or is this the reptilians coming through, making pretend they're Michael Jackson. That's what goes through my mind. And it has to go through my mind because that's possible. In fact, it's happened. And it happens with a lot of people that get sucked into it and don't even know they're sucked in. That's why channeling is such a tricky thing. And that people that want to channel, if they knew all the potentials, would probably think twice. Because I am sure that via channeling, some of the most well-intended people in the world have ended up going in the wrong direction. And in fact, even Carla Ruckert, Ra said that exactly through Carla. Ra said that through David Wilcox, saying that both David and Casey had negative sources at different times, and that they explained one of them with regards to Casey. And I think it's one of the reasons that David did not want to go front and center as a channel or being connected to Edgar Casey. Because, this is my opinion, because he knew that that was true and a possibility. The negative source could come true. And he was afraid that he could mislead people. And if everyone was expecting him to have all the answers, and if he got attached to the recognition of having all the answers, that would automatically welcome a negative source. It's one of the reasons that I am very careful to not let my self-identity get caught up in the fact that we're talking to the Elohim, and that that it takes when I'm detached and I'm getting acknowledged for being myself, then I don't feel I need to be acknowledged because the Elohim, or I'm introducing the Elohim, and so I have a purer connection with doing it. I don't get caught up in it. My ego doesn't get caught up in it. I'm reading my emails. I'm getting caught up seeing somebody will make any comments here. Well, in any case, the voice that came through Terry said it was Michael Jackson. Actually, it started out where the first day she said, I'm getting all this static on the line. And there's all this anger on the line. And then she was commenting, like looking at it in third person, oh my gosh, it's Michael Jackson. And the next day, the same thing happened. I asked some questions, and he actually came forth, or the voice said it was him. And then I was testing it. I said, could you tell us how, can you tell me how you write a song? Remember, I'm a songwriter, so I'm going to like be able to analyze his answer. And so he told me, and it sounded right. I said, but maybe there's something negative here still. Maybe it's the reptilians, and they're trying to get to me, saying they're Michael Jackson. And the third day, I said, could Terry sing one of your songs? And Terry started singing, Beat It, Beat It, Beat It. The fourth day, I spoke to Daphne, and I said, you know, Daphne loves Michael Jackson. And she calls me back the next day, and she said, guess what? Michael is talking to me. And so she gives me this message from Michael. He's telling her how much he loves her and adores her, blah, 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 blah. and say, this is embarrassing. I hope nobody finds out about it because I'm talking to the Elohim, and now I know Michael. I mean, look at how this looks to the world. It's like somewhat 7:55, so I carried on to the end. It's like somewhat of a joke. The guy is writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Two women start talking to him, say with a voice that identifies itself as the Elohim, and they say they created the universe. And then somewhere a few years into it, Michael Jackson is talking to him. And, I mean, no one would believe it. That's why I'm telling you guys, because you've been listening and you're thinking, well, it's probably true. But, you know, you can't go out in the world and say that. So now Daphne is having Michael Jackson talk to her. And the next day, she posted a woman that posted a session from Michael Jackson on her website. And the next day, it's all over the world, okay? Especially Japan. They're posting Daphne's conversations with Michael Jackson, okay? And it's like, I hope nobody ever finds that. Now, I told everybody, you can go look it up. I'm being totally transparent here. And finally, about 2 weeks into this, Daphne said, Michael told me why he's connected to us. And she told me this really wild story. And then I validated the story, put pieces together, and I said, Uncle, it's really Michael Jackson. I knew it had to be Michael Jackson, and I knew that he and I had a connection in a past life, as well as Daphne. Tune in next Monday, and we will tell you what the connection was. It's put it on your calendar. It'll be really good, okay? Thank you, Steve Cannell, for reading Terry Friedman's book on being the disciple of Jesus. I think it's called The Man Who Walked with Jesus, Terry Friedman. The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I hope you all read that. I don't like to promote my own books, but it's really a good book. It's really got so much wisdom in it. Thank you all who are listening for the first time tonight. And it's 7:57. I'm going to unmute everybody. I got my usual thanks, special thanks to Terry for being such a trooper and holding the space for so long so that we can be getting out there. And on that note, I'm going to unmute you all. Here we go. We're unmuted.